in your personal life, have you ever felt like a juggler, like you were a juggler? Not trying to juggle three or four balls, but trying to juggle like 15 or 20? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that that the demands of the day far outdistanced the time that you had to fulfill those demands? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever wished there were 30 hours in a day and not 24? Or maybe 8 days in a week and not seven? I remember a number of years ago saying that. And then I thought, you know what? It wouldn't help. Because I would just fill those other hours up or fill that extra day up, and I'd be back in the same place in no time. But have you ever felt like that? Or have you ever been so busy that you're flying around here, there, running here, running there, running around like a chicken with its head cut off, and you get to the end of the day and you look back over the day and you feel like you've accomplished nothing? Have you ever experienced that? Or am I the only one?
Just you.
Just you, thanks. Well, forget this sermon. It doesn't apply to you. Thanks, Ivan. I think we've all been, and you feel like you're like that proverbial hamster, you know, in the little treadmill, you know, they're running, 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 and they don't get any place. Have you ever felt like that? When Linda and I were raising our four boys, when they were little, life was hectic, frantic, fast-paced. But I look at life today, in the 21st century, and it kind of makes life back then look like Little House on the Prairie, when today it's like Big House on the Freeway. I mean, it is... Life today is unbelievable. I, a couple months ago, I just kind of just sat back and looked at Christians, Christian families, and the demands and the pressures that I saw, the fast pace that I saw families and people going at. And I think it was at that time that God laid on my heart to do this sermon this morning. Now the question is this: how can a Christian live in this 21st century and not just live a life of frantic activity, but live a life of meaningful activities that will count for time and eternity? How can a Christian live in this frantic, I mean, fast-paced world and balance all the demands of life? How can we do it? I think a key to this is establishing and living by godly priorities. This is very important, folks, for all of us that are living today. So the sermon today, if you want to go to sleep, I'll give you the main points: establishing godly priorities and then implementing godly priorities. First of all, establishing godly priorities. Let me ask you this question before we begin there. What are your priorities? What are your priorities in life? If I gave you some time right now, could you list your priorities? You know, as Christians, we should live by godly priorities. We should live by godly priorities. So I want to start giving you four godly priorities. Four godly priorities. And the first one is this: I think we need to have a priority to grow in my relationship with Jesus. My number one priority: grow in my relationship with Jesus. This is my spiritual priority. and I'm speaking to Christians, I'm assuming that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've received Christ as your Savior. And you know, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, the journey's not over. The journey just starts. Because Christianity is not just religion, it's relationship. Amen? It's a relationship. And when you accept Christ, now you have a relationship with Jesus. We are born into God's family. And when we are born into God's family, then we are to grow in our relationship with Christ. And let me give you a couple verses on that. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is our head, even Christ. Grow up. As Christians, we're to grow up. You know, there's a sad fact that there are people that come to Christ and they never grow up. Now, some of those people, maybe they're not Christians at all. Maybe they never really came to Christ. But I think there are some that come to Christ. They truly trust Christ for their salvation, but they don't grow up. They don't grow up. You know, if you had a baby and that baby never grew, wouldn't that be tragic? It's even more tragic when a person comes to Christ and doesn't grow up. Ephesians 4:15 says, grow up in all aspects into Christ. Peter says that same thing over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says, I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow up in Christ. And you know what? That should be a number one priority in your life and in my life, to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Pastor David Burnham, some of you remember him, a former pastor of the chapel in Akron, several years ago made this statement. It was right about this time of the year. He said, as a new year begins, many resolutions can be made, but none is more important than to resolve to use your time more effectively, setting priorities to assure growth and intimacy with God. Making it a priority to grow in your relationship with God. Well, what does that entail? If we really make that a priority, how do we grow up in Jesus? Let me give you some ideas there. First of all, to grow up in Jesus, you need to take in the Word of God. Take in the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You know, babies love milk. They want milk. They want to get fed. I'll tell you, we should have that same kind of desire when it comes to taking in the Word of God. If we want to grow, we've got to take in God's Word. This is our food. You remember what Job said? Job said, I desire the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. He was saying, you know what? God, no Bible, no breakfast. I desire this more than my necessary food. If we're going to grow up in Jesus, we got to take in the Word. That's why on the back table there are reading schedules to read through the Word in 1 year. But just don't read through it. Oh, I did my 3 chapters. Meet Jesus in the Word. Before you start reading, say, Lord, speak to my heart. I want to see you in these pages. I want to meet with you today, Lord. And I'll tell you what, Jesus will reveal himself in his Word. A second thing we need to do if we're going to have this priority is we need to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We need to talk to the Lord. We need to have daily times when we put aside a little time. I mean, I know some of you are so busy, but a little time where you just talk to Jesus. And don't just make it a time in the morning. Now, you can have time in the morning, but, you know, talk to him throughout the day. When you're driving in your car, you're driving to work, you have a commute. Talk to the Lord. Talk to him. If you see me driving down the road, you're going to be seeing me going like this. I'm not talking to myself, usually. Talk to Jesus. You see? Commune with him. Any relationship that's a growing relationship, there's got to be communication. Has to be. So we need to pray. And then, come to church. Now, I'm preaching to the choir, right? You're here today. Come to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but encourage one another, especially as you see the day approaching." We see Jesus, the day of Jesus coming approaching? I do. I'll tell you, we need to be in church. I'll tell you what, you know, this would be a great time to make it a priority to get here to Sunday school. I'm going to tell you, folks, we have some of the best teachers of any church in Akron. Amen. Here in our church. And you are missing out if you're not making a priority to be in God's house for Sunday school. Make it a priority to be in church for worship. Next week, we're going to hear a little bit about the small group program that we're going to have. We're going to have different small groups, and I want to encourage every one of us to be in at least one small group. Because you know why? God has ordained for us to grow in community. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. He didn't say, accept Christ and you can be out here by yourself. He created the church as a greenhouse so we can grow up in Jesus. So come to church. I know you can't be here every time the church doors open. You shouldn't be here every time the church doors open. Might surprise you. You shouldn't. There's other priorities too. But make church a priority. Sunday school, worship service, small groups. Get involved in church. Now, how important is this? I mean, how important is growing up in Jesus? You remember when Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house? You remember what happened? Jesus is there and Martha's busy serving and making the dinner, and she's doing all these things, and Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes over and says, "Lord, Lord, you know, Jesus, tell my sister to get up and help me." You remember what Jesus said? "Martha, Martha." You know, I'll read that, and I think that he must say sometimes, "Pastor Les, Pastor," I don't know if he calls me pastor. "Les, Les. Martha, Martha, you're distracted by so many things. You're worried about so many things. There is only one thing that's necessary. And Mary has chosen the best. And it'll not be taken away from her." Mary chose to commune with Christ. Jesus said there's only one important thing, your relationship with Jesus. That far outdistances everything in importance. That should be number one on our priority list. Second priority, to work to have a Christ-honoring family. To make it a priority to be a blessing to your family. Family, I think, comes second on the priority list. Now, a verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever." Now, provide for his own, that has to do with providing physically for your family. But I think it goes far deeper than that. Yes, amen. You can make a paycheck and you may not be providing for your family. We need to provide for our family, to make our family, to have a Christ-honoring family. Now, how can you do this? I'll give you some suggestions of how to do this. Number one, spend quality time with your spouse. spend quality time with your spouse. And that's not just sitting in front of the TV watching the football game. That's not just watching the Steelers beat the Browns today. I like your coat, by the way, Clark. How do I know that's not just watching the football game? Linda told me. That's not quality time. It's spending time with your spouse. And I'll tell you, is that hard? It's hard. Especially with young families. That's tough. Right now, by the grace of God, my wife Linda and I are able to spend 45 minutes to an hour every morning. Sometimes we kind of go even long and Linda's almost late for work. We're able to do that, and we get up and we read a couple of devotionals together. We eat have some coffee and bagels, and we talk about the day, read a couple of devotions, pray. We just started a new year. We decided instead of the devotions, we're going to just read God's word, Proverbs, and then Romans, and then Psalms, and talk about what we read and pray with each other. And it's just great. You know, a true confession. When the boys were little, we struggled with that. We struggled with getting time together. But you know what we did? We didn't get together every day. I mean, we were together, but we took Saturday mornings and took a couple hours on Saturday morning, and we connected. And it's so hard because, you know, with mothers, it's so easy to focus on your kids. And with dads, it's so easy to focus on your work. And it's hard to get quality time. But I'll tell you what, I remember telling Linda, if you spend all that time with the kids and I spend all that time at church, you know what? The kids are going to grow up and leave, and we're going to be living with strangers. We need to spend quality time together. And we did, got that quality time on Saturday mornings. And that's all that was tough. But I'll tell you what, you need to do it. You need to spend time with your spouse. The best thing, parents, you can do for your kids is to love your spouse. Spend time with your spouse. Make it a priority to have some time together. Daily if you can, every week if you can't, but make it a priority. Secondly, train up your children. Train up your children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6 says, parents, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train up your children. Have a family devotion, family altar. I mean, that's almost kind of like gone the way of the dodo, you know? What's a family altar? A devotion? Yeah, a time when you and your spouse and your kids get together and you read some scripture or get a children's devotional. By the way, our church with the Word of Life program, with Olympians and with Gopher Buddy, provides materials for you to use in the home to disciple your kids. I didn't have that. Linda and I didn't have that. We had to go looking at the Christian bookstore, or we had to develop our own devotions in the Bible to teach our kids. You have material that is good material, but you got to do it. You got to make it a priority if you want to have a Christ-honoring home. Now, let the church help you. Let the church help you. It's not the church's responsibility to disciple your kids. It's not the church's responsibility to bring your kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your responsibility. But we can help. We can help. We have Sunday school classes. We have children's church. We have a youth group that meets, that has fellowships. And you know something, Linda and I'm going to be sharing a lot from my heart today, because I've struggled where some of you are right now. And you know what I found? When we were trying to bring our kids up, I would tell my kids something, and I would tell them something, and you know what would happen? Any of you parents have that same, in this ear, out that ear? But if somebody else told them, like a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker told them, I remember them coming home and saying, "Dad, you know what I learned today?" "What?" "I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. I'm starting today." I'm thinking, I've told you that for 10 years. But like, you know, it's like, I mean, they don't hear you as a parent. But someone else, they can hear. But guess what? They'll never hear that Sunday school teacher. They'll never hear that youth worker unless you bring your kids to church. Unless they're here. If they're not here, we can't help. And we want to help. And we want to have a generation raise up that know the Lord. But you got to bring them. You got to have them here. That's priorities. That's important. 3, if you want to have a Christ-honoring family, have fun with your family. Have fun. Plan a family game night. Friday nights was family game night in our house. Plan to have fun. Go on outings. Play with your kids. Let me just share this again from my heart. Parents, they grow up fast. Blink, and they've grown up and they're gone. Blink again and they're back. But I'm going to tell you, they grow up fast. They grow up so fast. I can't believe it. My oldest is 31. I'm only 39, and he's 31. I just can't believe it. 24, my youngest, 24. Where'd that go? Where did it go? But make it a priority to have fun with your family. I mean, to really enjoy. I'll tell you, next to your relationship with Christ, your family is next in importance. Next in importance. I believe that is biblical. I believe that's of God. If you don't spend time with your spouse and you don't train up your child or children and you don't take time to have fun with your kids today, one day you're going to wake up and you are going to have big regrets. And you know, this is a truth. I'll tell you right now, from my heart, you can't go back. Can't go back. I've never had a guy come to me in my office and say, "You know, one regret that I have, Pastor, is I didn't spend enough time at the office." But I'll tell you what, I've had people come and say, "You know what, I didn't spend enough time with the kids. I didn't nurture my relationship with my wife." I'm going to tell you, I've had people tell me that. 2nd on your priority list is to work to have a Christ-honoring family. 3rd, make it a priority to find and use my spiritual gift to bless others. This is your ministry priority. Ministry priority. To serve the Lord in ministry. And again, I could have put this one under number one, because one of the ways we grow is to minister. You grow through ministry. But I put this separately because you can minister and not really grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you love Jesus, you're going to minister. But you can minister without really loving and having a growing relationship with Jesus. But we should minister. Put this verse down. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The fact is, every one of us has received a special gift, a special talent to be used in serving the Lord, if you're a Christian. And you know what's been wonderful? One thing Linda and I did yesterday, is we took time to praise the Lord for the past blessings of this last year. And one thing that I'm thankful for is to see the spiritual gifts being exercised in this church. It's beautiful to see that. People using their talents and gifts to bless others. I mean, teachers using their gift. People that can cook, cooking and taking a meal to someone. People that have musical talents, that use their gifts to praise the Lord. People that work with children. People opening their house up in hospitality. People with compassion visiting people in the hospital, sending cards. Oh, the gifts. There's so many gifts, so different. But boy, when people use their gifts in the body of Christ, people get blessed. And you know what? We should have as a priority to minister for Christ. To know what gifts, what talent has God given me? And if you don't know, get involved and God will show you. But we should serve the Lord. It should be a priority to serve Christ. Everyone, every person here should have a regular ministry in the church. Everyone. That should be a priority. Now listen, again, I want to speak from the heart. There are different stages in life. Sometimes we have a little bit more time than others. But we should all do something. Do you receive that? I mean, you might not be able to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But you know what? Everybody can do something. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're all ministers. And by the way, not only should we use our spiritual gift here in the church, but every one of us who are saved, we are an ambassador for Christ. We should be. We're not all evangelists, but we're all to do the work of an evangelist. We're all to be trying to reach people for Christ and point people to Jesus. Wherever you work, at your place of employment, wherever you go to school, in your neighborhood, we're to be trying to lead people to Christ. That should be a priority in our life. That's why God left us down here. One thing we'll never be able to do in heaven is lead somebody to Christ. That's our job down here. Find your spiritual, minister for Christ. That's our third priority. Number four, and this one might surprise you a little bit, but I think this, listen here. We should have a priority to get in shape for Jesus. Get in shape for Jesus. That's our health priority. To live a healthier lifestyle. You say, is that biblical? I think it is. Because you know what? This body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is for the body. And the body is for the Lord. And you see, there's something about keeping ourselves for the Lord. Our body. Having a priority. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says this, bodily exercise profits a little. Now, it goes on to say, I know godliness profits greater because it has benefits for this life and the next. But it does say there, bodily exercise profits a little. So, we need to take care of our body. I think we need to make it a priority, maybe this year, to eat more healthy food. Get some exercise. Along with that, make it a priority to give up any bad habits that might be detrimental to your body. Because, by the way, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. Also, to maintain good health, your body needs regular periods of sleep, not in church, but regular periods of sleep and relaxation. I'm going to tell you, listen to this. Relaxation is not wasted time. It's not. Our bodies are created in such a way that we need downtime to and rest to function at our optimum, at our best. We need downtime. In fact, I think that is the reason, or one of the reasons, that God gave the Sabbath principle in the Old Testament. Because God said, you need rest. Your body needs to recuperate. There's a story about a pastor. And the pastor was going to take some R&R. He was going to take 2 weeks off in the summer. And a crabby old deacon came to him and said, I heard you were going to take 2 weeks of vacation. Pastor said, yeah, I'm planning to do that. He said, well, the devil don't take no vacation. And the pastor said, yeah, I don't take my cues from the devil. Jesus said, come apart and rest for a while. And I take my cues from Jesus. And he went on vacation. You know what? We need relaxation. We need downtime. You know? Make it a priority to take care of your body for the Lord. You know what I've noticed too in my life? When I am healthier, I do better spiritually. At least I sense it. There's a connection between if I'm way overweight, I feel terrible. I tire out. It's hard on me. When I take care of my body, I'll tell you what, I have a lot more energy to use for the Lord's work. Now, four priorities, okay? To grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. To make your home a Christ-honoring home. Third one, to find out your spiritual gift and use it to bless others. Number four, get in shape for Jesus. Now, I could have listed a lot more priorities. I just list four. And even with those, I can hear some people saying, I hear your heart. And it's saying, how in the world can I find time to just do those four? How do I do those when on top of all of those, I've got a job? I'm in school. I'm homeschooling my kids. I have home responsibilities. I have extended family responsibilities. I'm taking care of an elderly parent. And so on and so on and so on. I've got all these things. How do I do this? Now I feel like I'm juggling again. How? Glad you asked. Because now we go into number two, implementing godly priorities. And as we get into that, let me just say this. There are 24 hours in a day. I've got 24. You've got 24. Everybody starts out with 24 hours in a day. Let's just say 10 hours work. 10 hours you go to your job. 8 hours sleep. I know some of you told me you get 4 hours sleep, but I'm going to give you eight. 8 hours sleep, that's 18 hours. 1 hour to eat, to take shower, to dress, and this kind of stuff, 1 hour for that. That's 19. 1 hour working with the kids at night, trying to get them ready for bed and all this kind of stuff, and that leaves 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours, discretionary time. Now, this is where it's important. With those 3 or 4 hours, how do you spend that time? How do you spend that time? And this is where these godly priorities are so important. So how do you implement? Number one, determine to live by your priorities, not pressures. Hear me now. Determine to live by your priorities, not pressures. Now listen, I want you to ask yourself, I want you to think this through. I want you to take this home. I want you to think about this. Where do you want your family to be in 15 years from now? Where do you want them to be? What do you want your kids to be like? Where do you want to be with the Lord in 10, 15 years if he tarries? I don't think we'll get there, but say he tarries. You have 15, 20 years. Where do you want to be? What you do now is going to determine what if you get there. If your kids are where you want them to be, your family is where you want them to be, your relationship with your wife is where you want it to be. What you do now, the priorities. The problem is we live by the pressures, not by the priorities. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, good, acceptable, and perfect. I like J.B. Phillips, his paraphrase, he says this, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Squeeze you into its mold. The world says you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to be involved in this and you got to be involved in that and you got to have your kids in this, you got to have your kids in that, and you got to and boy, you don't want to get left behind. You don't want your kids to be left behind. There's so many pressures in the world today. And we must first, if we're going to live out godly priorities, we've got to determine and be committed to living by these priorities. We've got to first make the commitment and say, I am not going to be pressured into anything. I am going to live by godly priorities. And I'll tell you, if you don't have that commitment, if you leave here today and you just blow this off, I'm going to tell you, you will be squeezed into the world's mold. The world will pressure you to do stuff that you shouldn't be doing, individually and as a family. You've got to be committed. I'm going to have godly priorities, and by God's grace, we are going to live by these priorities. Number two, make a plan. Make a plan. Psalm 119:59 says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You know what? If you don't think about this, if you don't plan what you want to do, it's not going to happen. And what I'm going to suggest to you is this. Each day in the morning, just take 5 minutes and make a to-do list. What do you need to accomplish this day? Just write it down. Then take your priority list and prioritize all those things. And then begin to work your plan. Now again, you may list 10 things on your to-do list. Like, I'd like to do all these things. And then you prioritize, and guess what? You only get 3 done. But you know what? If you get the 3 most important things done, you've accomplished something. The next verse after Psalm 119:59, verse 60, says, I hastened and did not delay to do your commandments. Don't procrastinate. Make your plan and then work the plan. Actually be intentional in what you're doing. Plan out your day. Some of you that are real planners may want to even plan a week. That might be overwhelming, but just at least start with a day. Plan out. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do this day? You know what? There's always time to do the will of God. I didn't hear any amens. It's true. There's always time to do the will of God. If you plan it out, put down. I have to-do lists. If you want a copy of it, I'll give it to you. You know, and you can make copies of it. And I just write down, these are the things I need to accomplish today. And I need to do this, this, this. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So make a plan out. Plan out. Number three. Now I'm going to get personal. Turn off the TV and computer. Oh no, I heard that. I know. Boy, gee. That was young, man. Turn off. Now let me give you a verse. Psalm 101:3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not fasten its grip on me. Oh, what a good verse, huh? Now again, I'm not telling you chop up your TV. Well, maybe you need to do that. But you know, limit. Make some rules over the TV. If you don't, you know, TV takes nothing to watch it except the most important thing you have, and that's time. Learn to just turn that thing off. And computer games, I know I'm getting personal. Ouch. But you know what? Limit it. Okay, would you limit it? It can steal your time. Now, I don't want to just limit it to TV. See, I told you I'm going to get personal. To TV and computers. There's other things we do that take our time. And I want to challenge you to look at your life and what is important. I'm going to share something with you. And I'm not trying to put guilt trips or anything. And I'll tell you, I struggled with this stuff. I struggled with this when we were bringing up our kids. One thing I like to golf. You know, when I was younger, I was on the golf team. I went golfing all the time. I mean, it wasn't unusual to go five times a week golfing. I love golf. I was good at golf at that time. You know what? When we had our kids, I put my golf clubs away. I went once or twice, maybe three times a year. I didn't have time. And we had a busy life with the church, and we had busy stuff. And that's not saying you can't go and golf or be in a golf league or whatever. I'm not saying. Just evaluate. Because sometimes we're spending time where we shouldn't be spending time. And, you know, again, blink, and, you know, our kids are up. And you can't go back. You can't go back. I'll tell you, spend time with each other, with your family, play games, read to your kids, go on hikes, catch baseball, catch football. If you don't, you'll wake up one day and again, you'll have regrets. You'll have regrets. Now, number four, evaluate your family activities. Evaluate your family activities. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Or as the King James says, redeeming the time. The word means buy back the time. Use your time wisely. And if we're going to do that, we've got to evaluate what we are doing in our families. Here's what I want you to do. Sit down and talk with your spouse about the activities of your family, what your family's involved in, activities your children are involved in, sports, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, gymnastics, cheerleading, music, dance, whatever. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on today. And ask, what does the Lord want? Ask God. I want you parents, listen, I want you to do something for me. Do something. I want you to look at your life. Look at, and I'm not saying cut out everything. I'm not saying that at all. But look at your life. Look at the activities and say, how is this affecting our family? Is this interfering at all with carrying out our godly priorities? Evaluate. Then make prayerful decisions about those activities. Because, and folks, this is extremely important. I'll tell you what, I struggled with this. Again, I'm sharing my heart. I struggled with this. I had four boys. They were all involved in sports. But I'll tell you what, I had to make some tough decisions. Decisions that, man, oh man, I'll tell you what, they were tough. When it came to my sons. You know why? The championship game was always on Sunday. And for better or for worse, my kids were always in the championship game. And I'll tell you what, it hurt some of the decisions I made. But I'll tell you what, we've got to evaluate. We've got to ask. You know what? Satan, he is so sly, folks. He is so sly. He wants to keep us busy, 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 busy. B-U-S-Y, burdened under Satan's yoke. So busy in activity that we forget what's really important. And all I'm asking you to do is evaluate. Pray. Pray. And if God calls you, make the hard decision. I didn't make all the right decisions. I don't want to come across, I didn't. I made things I wish I could go back. I can't. But how important, parents, how important it is to live by godly priorities. I want to close today with a little illustration. Bill, would you come up, please? And you've seen this illustration. Some of you have seen it before, but I'm going to do it again. Say this jar is our life. And our life gets awful full sometimes, doesn't it? And it's kind of full here with these, what are they? Oh, golf balls. Kind of filled. But you know what? There can be more put in there. Help me, Bill. Shake that. Bill.
I was trying to help you out.
Okay. That one doesn't want to go. Just leave it down there. It's kind of cantankerous.
It's in there. Let's see if it
is. Oh, it's just not going to go down. Well, that's pretty full, isn't it? Filled up to the top. There's a little bit in there. But you know what? More can go in there. Our lives get like this sometimes. Just so full. But you know what? If I'd have started off with these little things here, I could never get those golf balls in there. The golf balls kind of represent our Christian priorities. If we live by our Christian priorities, you know what? The other things of life, they'll fit. They'll fit. But we've got to, first of all, put the Christian priorities number one, and then all the else. And I've learned that in my life. I'll come to a day that's so busy. This last week, I had some days like that. I told Linda in the morning, I don't know how I'm going to do everything I got to do today. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. But you know what? If I start off and spend some quality time with the Lord, I get to the end of the day and think, wow. Everything fit. It like worked, you know? And I accomplished the will of God. And that's what it'll be like for you. We need to live in 2011, not just establish, but implement godly priorities in our lives. Let's bow in prayer.